Needing to find a computer for this simulation.
Thank you. So yes, indeed, in my presentation, I will talk about how to use a classical computer to simulate quantum many-valued systems. And I've divided this talk into five parts. I'll start by giving some general observations concerning the simulation of quantum many-valued systems with a classical computer. Then I'll move to describe some efficient ways of describing quantum systems and also of simulating quantum systems. In the third part of the talk, I'll talk about a new mechanism to improve the simulation of quantum systems, and I'll finish with a summary of recent progress in this field and some conclusions. So most of what I will explain, most of the results I will explain, have been developed. It is what I've been working in the last 2 years, but I decided to also include some work in progress. And I don't see anything here, so I guess I'll be talking. Well, yeah, I'll see what happens. So, okay, I will start with the simulation of quantum systems. I would like to explain what I mean by simulating quantum systems with a classical computer. And so what I would like is that we imagine that we have the following experimental setting. We have n quantum systems, say n quantum spins. In some given state, collective state, you can think of this state, for instance, as the ground state of these spins, which we assume interact with each other. And so, well, this is, well, yeah, I guess the colors are going to be different from what I planned. So if we want to experimentally learn about this state, what we can do are obviously some measurements on the systems. And I'm thinking of a specific class of manipulation of measurements. I'm thinking of local operation and classical communication. This is a class of manipulation where we're studying quantum information. We don't need to go much into detail. What this is essentially is that you are allowed to take your spins individually and make individual measurements on the spins. And what you are allowed to do is a sequence of such measurements in a way that the outcome of a given measurement allows you to decide what you are going to do next. Right? So the idea would be to characterize or to study properties of this collective state through local measurements. Right? And as a result, what we obtain is a string of measurement outcomes, alpha, which occur with certain probability distribution, p of alpha. Now, using this scheme, we put, well, and again, what we do is we have the initial state of the system, say, because we managed to cool down the system on the n interacting systems to its ground state. Then we manipulate this system by through measurements, and then we obtain the response of the system to these measurements, and that's where, at this point, where we acquire information about the original state. And doing that with this kind of manipulation, we can learn about properties such as the correlations between two spins. If we want to study the correlations between two of these spins, we could measure the two-point correlator, and so on. So what do I mean by simulating such system, or by simulating, classically simulating such state? What I mean is, given a description, a specification of the initial state, for instance, by saying this is the ground state of such Hamiltonian, and the use of a classical computer, I would like to be able to reproduce the response of the real physical system to this class of local manipulation.
So, you're not trying any intermediate measures? Maybe some feedback?
Intermediate?
So, during the law?
Well, this is made of precisely measurements with feedback.
Okay,
so
the outcomes
actually
include those intermediate
measurements,
or
the outcomes,
alpha, they include those intermediate
measurements? Yes, yes. I mean, these are exactly,
there is nothing that is intermediate measurements. When you talk about the outcome of immediately, this is after you've done the same experiment many times?
Right.
And these are conditional probability.
No, you are going to prepare the state animation. This manipulation, this is one graph. Now you're going to prepare the state again, make more measurements, second round. So every time that you make these measurements, you start from scratch. There is no correlation between.
No, no, but you are measuring in a sequence. Therefore, as you said, the result of the next measurement depends on the previous one.
Around
for the probabilities are conditional.
Oh, sure. In this sense, yes. Alpha is a string of measurement outcome, and this probability depends on all of them. So it's conditional in this sense. Right. Yes, the question. Right. So it depends on the
measurement and the outcome.
Right here, if you have n, if you have a sequence of n measurements, in order to obtain this probability reliably, you have to make exponential
right.
of n measurements.
Right. But no, what I'm saying is the outcome of such experiment is some outcome that occurs with certain probability. Right? I'm not saying
you don't know.
Well, you don't know. That's good, because if you don't know it that, I wouldn't require you to know it here. Right, in the simulation, you just want to be able to reproduce the same outcome, which is going to be probabilistic. And what you want is that you obtain the same outcome with the same probability. Right? So you don't know what the probabilities are. You just have a black box which outputs some string alpha. And you don't know, ideally, if the simulation is working properly, you won't be able to identify whether it's coming from the simulation or from the experiment. Right? Okay, so this is what I understand by classical simulating a quantum system, which is I am able to reproduce the response of the quantum system to measurements, to local measurements.
How is this specified
in the second case? Here? Well, find a way to specify it. You could say if this is the ground state of a signal for a Hamiltonian, you could say that's the ground state of a Hamiltonian. You don't need to give the exponentially many coefficients in the computational basis or anything. But there are ways to specify ground states. For instance, you put a specific, or not on ground states, but there are ways of specifying a state without having to expand it in the computational basis. You could say, well, this is the state I obtain after doing this and this and this to this thing. And that should be an efficient specification.
Would you say that we ourselves solve a quantum mechanical problem by using quantum mechanics or our knowledge of it? We ourselves are instantiating a classical computation and doing that?
Well, I would say that.
Yeah, would you say that?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, we could only be behaving classically and
Right. Well, when I say classical computation, I mean the use of the classical computer.
Our brain presumably could be the part of it.
Sure. Okay. So anyway, I hope there is some clear idea of what I mean by simulating a quantum computer, a quantum system. I mean, just being able to reproduce the response of the system to local measurements. And so, but that's not all we want in quantum mechanics. Sometimes we are not interested in a given state, but in an evolution. For instance, in quantum computation, we may want to be able to simulate a quantum computation by itself. And so what we can consider is a situation where we have an initial quantum measurable state from which we apply some transformation, collective transformation, and then we obtain a final state. And so again, in experimentally, what we will have again is our quantums, n quantum spins, prepared in some initial state, and then there will be some evolution view, say according to the method of Hamiltonian in the system. And after that, we can again perform measurements and try to determine the final state, properties of the final state, and what we obtain in practice is the outcomes of the measurement, which occur according to second probability distribution. So if we want to simulate that, what I require again is that given a description of the initial state, and given a description of the unitary evolution, plus some calculation, I would like to be able to reproduce the response of the system to these measurements. Right?
So classical computations only with the LLCC, the unit still the unitarily evolved.
No, I start from here. Right? I start with the specification of the initial state
yes.
and the specification of the unitary transformation.
Yes.
But you're not simulating in classically, are you?
No, what I'm doing is I'm simulating you apply to an initial state. And by this, what I mean is be able, and
okay.
I require the back end table to specify the response of the system after this evolution.
Good. So it might be that there's a different initial state that you can't see.
But if it is,
in the different initial state with the same interface region, that you wouldn't be able to start.
Yeah, that would happen.
So are you saying that you specify U, does it mean you write down the matrix into a basics, or
I specify U means there is a common way of leaving U. For instance, I could say this U is the evolution for 10 seconds according to such.
Why don't you include, in addition to U there, the algorithm involved in the specification of LOCC?
Well, what I would like is to be able to reproduce this for any possible LOCC manipulation. So,
and for any possible U, please.
Excuse me.
And for any possible
U. No. I'm interested in simulating this U for this state. Right? I may be able to simulate this U for this state, and I may not be able to simulate another evolution for another initial state. So the simulation is about this U for this initial state, and I say that I can simulate such U for such initial state if I'm able to reproduce the response to any local interface.
So the key by
you as a dynamical evolution, so you think would you be able to have like a dynamical simulation of, you know, like here you have first with you and then you look at your classical computation, but you could make your classical computation and also on time as you would do, and then you could simulate you in
at a different time, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible.
That's not what you want to do, but I was just curious.
Well, you can define that. I'm just defining the space.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can define that.
So basically, the reason why you cannot be absorbed in LOCC is because you use a load.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, I think I would like to move on. Before I go on, I would like to specify why I think that this problem is of interest and why do we want to simulate quantum systems, but this is easy to justify. In general, if we want to study quantum many-body systems, we have a few analytical results, but most of the time we just don't have tools to analytically study quantum systems, and therefore we have to resort to numerical approaches. But even for numerical approaches, there is a lot of techniques, to the point that given a generic quantum system, we don't know how to analyze that. And why would we want to study quantum many-body systems? One can justify this from the point of view of basic research. Any area of physics which involves quantum many-body systems would be interested in having more tools to analyze such systems, but also from the perspective of applied research, and in particular to develop a technology based on a technology at the quantum level or at the nanoscale. And examples, specific examples of fields where having tools to simulate quantum systems could be of interest are, say, quantum chemistry. We may want to be able to understand the chemical properties of a large molecule from the properties of individual electrons in a cloud of electrons. Or in condensed matter, we may want to study or better understand quantum phase transitions, for instance. Involve a considerable number of quantum systems. Or in quantum field theory, we may be fed up with perturbation theory, and we may want to go beyond that. That would be for quantum many-body physics. And in quantum and nanotechnology, for instance, we may want to be able to simulate the experiments that they perform in quantum physics. Yes.
Isn't there already a very large and well-developed methodology and experience with, say, finding ground states and excited states of large molecules? Isn't that precisely what you're talking about?
I'll talk about this. But, yeah, let me answer you in a second. So yeah, I could go on with a list of applications. And Of course, because this is an important problem, because many of the problems has attracted a lot of attention, and we have a number of very important simulation algorithms. And we have quantum Monte Carlo, we have density functional tuning, density matrix and normalization group, and all these methods have found a lot of applications. They are useful, they are applied continuously, there are practices of physics that rely on them, but this doesn't mean that we know how to address even very simple quantum anybody problems. Right? These methods work and work very well only in restricted contexts. So only in very specific situations you can use those methods, and if you take you consider an arbitrary system, say if you take 100 spins with simple interactions between them, and typically you won't be able to apply any of these techniques. And an obvious problem. So we would like to simulate quantum systems. And if we try to do this in a straightforward way, we have a computational problem, which is easy to understand. You are familiar with the fact that the dimension of the Hilbert space of, say, n spin systems, spin one half systems, now goes exponentially with n, which means that if we need to simulate a small number of systems, one, two, three, four, we can do it in our computer. We could push it and go all the way to 20 spins, maybe. But to the best of our knowledge, there is no way to simulate 30 spins. It doesn't matter which one you use. And of course, if you want to study quantum collective phenomena, you will need maybe 100 spins or 1,000 spins and so on. So this exponential rule for the dimension is simple, but clear obstacle to simulating quantum systems efficiently. Right? So that's the problem. And this talk is about trying to find ways out of this problem, at least in particular situations.
That's the key motivation.
I would like to be able to efficiently simulate quantum systems. And
even though standard calculation can be linear.
If you would, you just would consider an expansion of your wave function in a computational basis and then consider matrices which correspond to expansion. Your experience here, the Hamiltonians, and so on, you will have objects which are full large for you.
If you succeeded, could you look into short-scale computation on that
question? Short algorithm?
Yes. So far, whatever you did applies to that situation.
If you succeed in general, yes, but I'm happy by succeeding for particular situations. And in particular, it's possible to simulate quantum systems in certain settings, such as one-dimensional systems. But this, short algorithm doesn't. At least I don't know how to simulate short algorithm. Okay, so again, we have these n quantum systems, n quantum spins, and as we were saying, if you expand the state of these n quantum systems in the computational basis, you obtain simply n parameters, which are will represent with this box. This is a tensor, and for each index here, I draw a vector. Okay. And whenever, if I have to deal with a tensor that big, with so many legs, I remember that the number of parameters on which this tensor depends is exponentially in the number of legs. If I have to deal with this object, well, I simply don't have an efficient way of even writing all these complex. However, we can try other ways of representing the same state. So here again, each rectangle corresponds to a tensor, and each leg corresponds to an index. And here what we have is a structure of tensors which have contracted indices between them, right? And we have a number of three indices here, which happen to match a number of indices here. And so this thing is, you can understand this as a structure of contracted tensors, right? This could, you could use this as an, if you count the number of parameters required here, you have of the order of some polynomial of n number of tensors, and each tensor has only at most four legs, which means four indices, so there is some it's like having 2 to the 4 parameters per tensor. So essentially what you have is that if you write your state in this way, you only need polynomial number of parameters.
What does make it deeper and deeper on the chip?
Excuse me?
Making this diagram deeper and deeper, what does that mean?
Well, you can put more parameters.
But in this, I mean, you could have just one chain of this.
Right, then you would have less. It's just a matter of how many parameters you want to use then.
Does it increase my knowledge, I mean, the depth of which I control?
Well, definitely you will be able to represent more states. A generic state requires 2 to the n parameters. If you restrict your attention to a class of actors, which depend only on poly n parameters, you won't be able to exactly represent all the states in the filter space. But now, if you put more and more parameters here, you will be able to describe more and more states.
So why is this form good?
Why
is this form?
Okay. Right, that's a good question. Why should you get it from this form? But, here's an assumption which I find very plausible. Let's suppose that a quantum computer is able to simulate any quantum system. Okay? Which means that you start with the standard state in the computational basis, the 0,0,0 state, and you start applying gates. Which are coupled, say, two qubits at a time. And after a polynomial many of such gates, you are able to represent any state that you find in nature. Suppose that that's the case. Then, well, this structure here is doing exactly this. You could think of this as a quantum circuit, where these guys are the gates. So if you apply and time goes in this direction.
This is just an analog of any permutation can be written as a combination of twisting and neighboring.
We know that doesn't allow us to describe any possible element in the filter space. Because if you count parameters here, we only have polynomial remaining.
And they're limited as official authority, yeah, it does.
Right, but the thing is, it is also plausible to think that in quantum, in nature, we don't find systems in a state which takes exponentially much time steps to create. Right? It is because we put through those states, just arguing that it will take too long to create them. In practice, in this filter space with exponentially many parameters, there might be states, most of them actually, that would take too long to prepare. Not only with the quantum computer, but in nature.
When just to connect this to the last part, the protein folding is a problem with exponential many states. And nature does find the ground, the stable ground states.
Right. But in kind of time.
Yes, but not very long time.
Right. Yeah. So probably the time that it takes scales with that in a reasonable way.
I think it's not known. But the thing is that it's so far not possible to do the problem on a classical computer.
Right.
In any amount of time, that nature dies in a millisecond.
Right. So suppose that we take a quantum computer and we simulate that process.
Right.
It is reasonable to expect that it will take some kind of time, well, some reasonable time, which does not scale exponentially with that. Now we can take this quantum evolution and we can split it into small gates, right? And once we have done that, we will obtain something like this. We will obtain a quantum circuit, right, with polynomially many gates. Number of gates with this scale reasonably dependent. And once we've done that, we have a way to efficiently specify the state of the system by just specifying these gates. You give me polynomially many parameters, which correspond to all these gates, and you have an efficient description of the state. You still don't know what the properties of the state are, but you have a description of the state, specification.
You have the circuit that has the fast Fourier transform, can it look like this?
Well, all the circuits look like that. All quantum circuits. But yes, any quantum computation can be represented this way. Okay. So, what I'm trying to say here is that restricting our attention to states which can be efficiently specified, like say the quantum circuit, may not be, we may not be losing generality here, because in practice what we want to describe are states of nature of real systems, and real systems may be all of them may fall into a class or into a situation where we can efficiently prepare that. And once we can efficiently prepare the state of this system, we can efficiently describe the state by just specifying it in these things. So, yeah, we have the inefficient decomposition, now we have efficient decomposition. Now, what's important is to distinguish between having an efficient decomposition and being able to efficiently simulate the system. We are not done. We have an efficient description, but we still don't know how to use this specification of the state in order to extract observables. We still don't know how to predict what's going to happen when we make a measurement on one of the states. And an example of why that description is not having an efficient decomposition is not enough to have an efficient simulation can be given when we try to compute the scalar problem of a state, which we expressed in this way. If this is the state expanded, if this is an expansion of the state, we try to compute the scalar product, which has have to take the top of the greater problem, and then all these legs which were free now are contracted with legs from the complex conjugate or the Hermitian conjugate. And then what we have here is we know that the scalar product is given by this structure. And this structure is simply a number collection of tensors which have all the indices contracted. Now if we try to turn this into a scalar, into a complex number, into a real number in this case, what we find is that we have to make intermediate calculations which involve tensors, which, well, as you count the legs, you realize that as you try to take all this into, as you try to make this calculation, you end up having to deal with tensors which have more and more legs, which, if what this means in the end is that, well, when you try to extract information from this efficient description, you still end up having to perform exponentially many operations. So having the conclusion is having an efficient decomposition does not automatically imply having an efficient way of simulating the system, but there are, of course, ways of having an efficient decomposition and at the same time an efficient simulation. And for instance, this is an example. If we manage to expand our state as a tree of small tensors, then then it turns out it is efficient, it is also then possible to efficiently simulate such state, meaning that we can compute expectation value for local observables or so. Are examples?
Is there any connection between like states which are easy to describe because they have this sort of being related to states that have little entanglement, for example?
There will be some connection at some point. It's not necessary, but if in the
system. Because I would think that maybe a state which has a lot of entanglement would probably be difficult to transfer.
It is true that if the amount of entanglement in your system is small, then automatically you are able to simulate the system efficiently. Now, you may have a lot of entanglement, then the specific methods to help us track a little better. But still, it may be possible if you find an efficient way of simulating that system. And I guess Daniel will have a lot to say about that since he has studied a class of states that fulfill this right? That they have a lot of entanglement and still you can classically simulate. Right, so examples of, well, as I was saying, we have these structures, three structures. These are two examples of three structures where the number of parameters that you need to simulate in quantum systems scales linearly in n. And such that, as I will try to convince you, we have an efficient simulation scheme for them. So, and as an example of this structure is the one used in for the last 10 years in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't smell something really complicated. Maybe the fire alarm will work.
Is it 19?
I don't know.
I don't know, I
Yeah, we say simply yes within the last one.
definitely in here. Someone's cooking in there somewhere. Maybe it's the dinner of them. Definitely smoke. Smoke's not.
Are you doing? There's a problem on the fourth floor. Okay, room is ready.
Okay.
We just extended the fire alarm.